1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
Way.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
What a tackle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, we're coming back into the Sculptors Podcast, coming off of a tasty Victory Monday.
Indeed.
How you feeling today, Mike?
Victory Monday, baby. You gotta feel good. It's exciting.
Good things are coming, man.
Yeah.
Good things. Vikings, of course, following the 49ers. What'd you say this morning? What didn't they find here?
They did not find any gold.
They didn't find no gold here.
No gold at the bank.
They fall 24-16. Against our Minnesota Vikings.
They did.
Before we get into the breakdown of the game, though, let's take a look around the week here and see kind of what surprised us today, or yesterday, rather. Kind of what the heck went on, because there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there was some, some games broke, I think, definitely the way we thought. The Vikings game actually being probably one of the more accurate predictions we had, but that's a good thing, because that means maybe we do actually have a handle on the team that we podcast about multiple times.
The Vikings are who we thought they were.
I guess I was talking with you. Obviously, there's a couple things that really jumped out. First and foremost might be the Tampa Bay Bucks going into what I thought, what I predicted as the other NFC championship team, Saints. Mostly because I thought their defense had improved, and hanging a 48 spot with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, this is exactly how everyone expected this to go across the league, Mike.
I mean,
I don't know why we decided to buck that trend.
DeSean Jackson scored.
Everyone was picking the Tampa Bay Bucks to win this game.
Ooh.
We looked at, around halftime or something like that, or third quarter, it's like 48-24, and we're like, what in the heck happened here?
And of course, I benched Mike Evans in all fantasy formats because, you know, last year he struggled against Lattimore mightily. And
how many points did he have on the bench for you?
Ejected. He had 27. It cost me in one league for sure, and possibly two. But Bucks, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into the Jameis Winston controversy here, but there had already been kind of rumors that maybe they were done with Winston, and now Fitzpatrick comes in and they throw up a 48 spot, a team that we,
Okay.
What are you thinking?
But for one, first things first, pump the brakes a bit, kid, okay?
Okay, well, 48 is no
48
no
bomb,
joke.
You know, in any other week, I would say, all right, this could be a concern. Week one, divisional game especially, all divisional games are, I pretty much throw the book out the window.
Okay.
You never know how those things play out, right? You play each other so often.
Yeah.
There's just so much nuance you pick up playing each other twice a year like that. So immediately there, books out the window.
Yeah.
You hope the Saints can go ahead and take care of business, but for whatever reason, they were just exposed on something they didn't realize.
Probably a lot of unhappy people in the loser pool pick 'em. I would assume that was a popular pick this week.
I have a friend that's going to pick them for money, and I kind of steered them away from this game. I'm like, no, if I was you, I'd probably pick Detroit. It's a low-key game. They should win at home.
Oh, okay, they got to pick a winner?
Yeah, they got to pick a winner. I'm like, it's a low-key game. Pick Detroit. All right, pick that to win. Make that your lock, because first week is rough.
I went...
But Detroit's relatively safe.
So I'm in one where you got to pick the loser. And you can have two entries, and I took San Fran. So I rolled the dice on
double San Fran. Well, you can double it up.
Well, yeah, because it's like independent entries, basically.
Okay, I got you.
So that was a little bit shocking. And then another big shocker, probably more so for you, would be the Washington Redskins going into Arizona. And this one wasn't really close, 24-6. Alone David Johnson, sad touchdown, which probably helped fantasy owners late. But
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to claim the same rule I just did before. It's first game of the season. Kind of bets are off at that point.
Okay.
Adrian Peterson is obviously having a coming out party there. So, props to him. Hope he does well. Just don't do well against my Vikings. We'll be fine.
Okay.
But you know what? There's plenty of season left. There's 15 games left.
Yeah.
But I'd like to point out, though, at this point, the Browns have a better record than the Saints and the Cardinals and the Chargers and the Cowboys and the Seahawks and the Bears. A lot of teams. They have a better record than a lot of teams right
now. Damn it, Bears.
What the hell, Bears? Come on.
I suppose we could touch on that. Bears blew a 20-point second-half lead. Aaron Rodgers went into the locker room. Sounds like some sort of an MCL issue, or it looked like it. I don't know if that's officially been released or not, but it certainly looked like an MCL error. It came back anyway, and you know the rest. He did Aaron Rodgers things, and they end up winning.
I believe, by the way, this was my prediction that I texted to you, like, I don't know, an hour before kickoff, or a couple hours before kickoff Sunday, that it was going to be late game Aaron Rodgers heroics that win it.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, our thing was Bears are a much improved team. I think you saw that.
I don't know what they were doing play calling in that second half.
Well, and Trubisky looked like a rookie in the second half, which was really weird. I mean, he was rushing throws. He was going to the first read. There were other players open.
Well, just that defense too. Like the defense kind of fell on its face the second half.
Yeah, I mean, don't know what changed on the Randall Cobb. It's like or the lack thereof. Khalil Mack though, man, that's not going to be fun to play against him for the next handful of years, huh?
Yeah, not twice a year. The only benefit there is everyone else in the division has to as well.
Yeah.
So I mean. But that series now is looking more like it's going to be you hope for a split and take the home game.
Yeah.
And maybe you get lucky, you take the away game.
Yep. So Green Bay moves to 1-0. Bears actually dropped an interception that was hit a guy right in the chest at the
Saw
very
that.
End of the game.
Saw that.
And still could have sealed it, but unfortunately did not. So
but you
sets
know what,
up a
but,
showdown.
But that's how it is with up-and-coming teams. They're making some of these mistakes now.
Yeah,
but they'll take care of it. That's a mental rep. They're just gonna be like, "Yeah, okay, I'm not gonna do that again," you know. And then next year, they're not making those mental errors or a lot fewer of them. And now you see, you know, the vaunted Bears defense again.
Yep. So 1-0. It sets up a clash of, you know, what most would consider the.
If anyone claims this is for the NFC North, this next game, I'm blocking you on Twitter. So just don't even try.
No, I mean, certainly it is for the lead in the North after 2 weeks.
It's for the lead, but it does not decide the division in week two.
No, it's a big game. I think especially for the Vikings, if you can go in and get that road win against Green
Absolutely.
Bay. But that'll be a
it's
fun
important.
Show, the Packer preview show, which will come out a little bit later this week.
And I think that's the first time in quite a while we've played the Packers at Packers this early in the season.
Yeah.
No, where it hasn't been like, you know,
the tundra in
tundra
December,
or like, yeah. like 40, 50 degrees where it's still pretty cold to
yep.
play. So yeah, excited for that game. I think obviously road games are away, but are tough. But you know, it's one that's definitely winnable with the team we have. Definitely winnable. But we'll get into that. That's next podcast.
I don't know. Other Ravens hung a 47 on the Bills. Bills are going to be a very bad football team. Steelers and Browns tied at 21. Browns actually make a hell of a comeback.
They didn't lose.
They did not lose. This is their best record, you were telling me, since
2004. This is their best start since 2004.
I mean, just take a minute to comprehend that.
Okay. Like I was saying, both me and you, we're aging ourselves a little bit here, but we were still in high school.
Yeah.
Right. That's the last time they started out 1-0.
Beer fridges still locked.
Still locked. Cleveland. Okay. Here's what I want to know. How many cops do they have on staff to be able to deal with that absolute shit show that's going to happen when those things unlock?
I don't know.
Because that is going to be absolutely nuts. I do not want to be in that city when that happens. Okay, let me rephrase it. I don't want to be in that city if that happens.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're jumping ahead a little bit. I don't know. That's mostly it. I thought Pat Mahomes looks like the real deal. Certainly electrified him and Tyreek Hill. They look like they're going to be a very dangerous combination there in the AFC West.
Bengals kind of pulled out a late game
win
there.
I had picked them to win. Colts were favored, which a lot of people thought was a weird line from Vegas. Deshaun,
Colts were home, so I could see it, I guess.
But. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, a little bit of rust, I guess one could say. They struggled. They managed to only lose by 7 to the Patriots, but a little bit of rust. They fought back in that game. And then lastly, Giants, who a team I think I had Macon, were they my last wild card, I think? I think either so. Way, I had them as a vastly improved team this year, and they actually showed quite a bit against the Jags. Odell is just unreal.
He's real.
He should have torched Ramsey for even more, but Eli missed him multiple times in the end zone wide open. So they end up losing by 5 to a very good Jags team, but I think the Giants showed up for that game. So if they can just get a little, if Eli can figure it out just a little bit, and I know that's a big if, I look for the Giants to make some noise in that division that I think is, Philly's a good team, but I think that they could give them a little bit of trouble.
You know, I'm drawing a couple of parallels here to Jacksonville Giants game to Vikings 49ers game. Two teams that should win that game won that game. But right. They were closer than they should have been, realistically, given where you think the team's power level is based right. on last year. So just goes to prove to you there that you're dealing with a couple teams that have some star power. They're getting better, but they're not matured yet to the point where they don't make those mistakes right. and they don't close out games.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on this. A lot of this was a lot of chaos that I didn't expect to be quite this chaotic.
But. Yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of a good wrap. We got a couple games here. I think the Jets and Lions are about to kick off in about a half hour. And then we got the Rams-Raiders tonight. A game that I'm not really expecting to be much of a game.
We'll find out.
That's week one. Pretty, I mean,
it's pretty what standard. It is. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Now on to the fun stuff. Let's talk about your 1-0 Minnesota Vikings taking care of business at home.
Yes, absolutely. So, as you alluded to, the Vikings took care of business. Got out of there relatively clean as far as injuries go. I think Waynes was the only one that we noted that got injured. It didn't look like it was super serious. He just kind of had a sleeve on it, so hopefully that's either he's in next week or it's only a couple-week deal. We'll find out on that. Mac obviously wasn't able to go.
No.
So
let's hope he's. I mean, I would love if he's able to go week two. You can always use that depth against Rodgers, especially Mac with a little bit of experience, which always helps because you know yeah. if Hughes is in, you know Rodgers is gonna try a couple now. And we're assuming that Rodgers is gonna play. They did just come out today and release that you know they're unsure, but let's be honest, he's playing that football game.
Right. We'll get back to the secondary a little bit in that whole Rodgers matchup. Last thing I just want to mention before we get into the actual game analysis. Collins moved to the IR. We signed in a guard that was with Kansas City last year.
Yeah.
The name escapes me currently. But I guess the injury was serious enough where they said, yeah, we just want a different depth guy. There's a question on this a little bit later from a listener, so we can touch in a little bit more on that transaction,
yeah.
kind of what it means for the depth of the line. But a
couple questions submitted this week.
Yeah,
so.
We'll get to that a little bit later. But first off, Minnesota Vikings started out on offense with Kirk Cousins. All right. What do we feel about this Cousins start here? Only two touchdowns, Mike.
I loved it. I thought Cousins really showed what I felt we were missing with Keenum. And that was, there were some absolute darts. And the football was thrown perfectly a lot of the time. The touchdown pass to Diggs is one of the prettiest throws I've seen in a while. I mean, you just couldn't have placed it any better. It's kind of cool. I think it was his 100th passing touchdown, which is cool.
Yep.
He threw an absolute BB to Thielen later in the game. Thielen kind of found a way between a couple defenders, and he just right.
And he had pressure right in his face, too. Yep. He just bolted that one out.
So, I mean, the ball... you know, it was thrown. I thought he had a good game for game one in the new system, new
right.
receivers. Yeah, statistically, he was 20 for 36. He did have a couple drops.
I heard he was 20 for 28 until his last 8 passes were all incomplete. Which maybe that's the coverage stiffened up. Maybe that's play calling kind of didn't work out the way he wanted it to. But yeah, I'm on the same page. Overall, I was very happy with that. That's kind of the way I expected that first game to go. He's not expected to do much in this game. No. Defense clearly took over this game. He just needed to make the throws, keep the chain moving, keep the clock ticking, and put up a couple scores where he needed. And yeah. We got him when we needed him, and we came out on top.
Yeah, I think that you saw a defense have to respect the passing game a little bit more than they did all of last year. It was noticeable. I think you saw success in some other areas. I know that the running number individually for yardage wasn't, it's not like Delvin ran for 150 or anything, but we had some nice runs, and I thought it was a balanced attack for the most part. And especially for week one, with new players and a new offensive coordinator, just a lot of kind of moving pieces. I'm really happy overall, especially with Cousins, on how he looked. And I mean, I'm excited. This is a step to where I think, he's going in the right direction.
Sure. Absolutely. 100% agree. It only gets better from here, I think.
Yeah, if 244, two TDs and no picks is considered, just an average or not even a great game, we're going to be feeling wonderful come the end of the year.
Perfect. Continue that stat line every game.
Yeah.
Or win a lot of football games.
I mean, that's a good game from Keenum last year. And I know statistics don't tell the whole story, but I mean,
protected that's... it when he needed to, made some critical third down pickups.
Yep.
That fourth and one, that hard count, delicious. We haven't been able to do that since Brett Favre was playing for us. That, oh my gosh.
That was a beautiful thing.
Stadium went nuts on that. That was great. So anyway, we touched on it a little bit. Delvin Cook.
Yeah.
Comes back in. First three plays went to Delvin Cook.
Yeah.
I think it was a run, a little dink pass, and then another run. So clearly, he didn't look like he was on a pitch count to me.
No.
Looked like he was primed and ready to go.
Yeah. 16 carries for 40 yards. He threw in another 6 catches for 55 on 7 targets. Roughly that's 22, 23, 24-ish right in there. Plays that are designed to go to him. That's a pretty good number. Even when they're really going, you're not going to get too much higher than that. So, that's basically a full load for Delvin right out the gate. Like you said, they went boom, 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 boom. And I thought he looked explosive. Again, statistically, 16 for 40 is a 2.5 average. I realize if you just came and looked at a box score, you're going to think, oh, man, he really struggled to get it going. But he had some really nice hard runs.
And that's one where definitely the stat sheet is very deceiving.
Because
he had some nice runs. There's a couple issues, I think, with the O-line blocking, run blocking. But overall, I think it was fairly adequate with what's going on.
Yeah, that run that he fumbled on, man, that was one of the nicer runs I've seen in quite a while. Probably going back to AP from a run like that. It featured a little bit of everything. And he's
a little
just
bit of power, a little bit of
a
cut.
Down.
Yeah, and he fumbled that, but you really can't put that on him. That was just a great play by the defender.
It's a good play. At the end of the day, I'm always going to put the fumble on the running
back
for the most part.
But you come up from behind, you get swiped on it.
Yep.
It's not much you can do with that. It's not like he and Latavius Murray did in the preseason.
But I think that overall, I'm happy with Delvin. It was a good shake a little bit of the rust, get back into it. You lose a fumble in a game that you end up winning by 8. Fine. If we got to pick the few fumbles that he's going to have a year,
take it
as long as that's one of them, good. We got the W. We move out of there. He learned from it. It looked like Zim didn't even really say much to him because he knows. Dalvin knows he can't turn the ball over.
Yep.
Then you had Latavius. Had 11 for 42, which is just a shade under 4 yards a carry, which is good. I thought Latavius looked quick. Cousins scrambled a couple times. So, I thought that there was a nice balanced attack and not a horrific defense that we went up against either, So
no, you had DeForest Buckner right up in the middle. He was causing some havoc. I think he had 3.5 sacks, something like that.
Yeah, they got some good, some good players. So, I thought overall...
Richard Sherman,
The offense, to
good.
Me, took a step in the right direction. And for week one, we look better than the Bills offense, I'll tell you that much.
I think high school offenses look better than the Bills offense, Mike.
Yeah.
Regardless, that's another podcast.
Right.
So rolling right in there, because we just kind of touched on it here. The O-line, How do you feel they did this game?
Well, the fact that, you know, Cousins is still alive is a good thing. The fact that I was able to watch the game and not scream in every play like, God, get rid of the ball or duck, you know. I thought for the most part he had time when he dropped back. Sure. So I guess to me, it's a breath. I think we can improve, but I know, you know, you get Elflein. I'm curious to see how they're going to kind of shake things up a little bit. Obviously, Collins, it hurts a little bit because I do think here, as the season went on, Collins was probably going to get some snaps.
Possibly.
Now, losing him, sounds like they already brought in another guy that...
They brought in who was...
14 starts or something with Kansas, 14 games right. with Kansas City last year, so it's a guy with some experience.
They brought in a guard. Again, we'll touch on this a bit later, but there are plenty of options at swing tackle, so don't be concerned with losing Collins as a swing tackle. We have other options. I'll explain that with the question.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm the same as you. I was at the game, so my vantage point's slightly different. I don't get the same... full breakdown of what's going on with the line, but nothing in it screamed, we need a lot of help.
No. Right? No.
It's a good D-line coming at you. All right. Sometimes the coverage is just great, and you can't get rid of it, and it just happens. But a lot of people were complaining about the Compton grade. PFF gave him an 80.2, highest grade on offense. They were complaining about that. But what you don't see is a lot of times with O-linemen, you don't look at all the plays where they're invisible. Where they did their job, you don't notice them. All you look at is the couple sacks he gave up to Buckner. Well, you don't look at that his running grade was in the 90s.
And I think for Compton specifically, he gave up that early sack. You know, it was real early in the game.
Right.
And I think people have a tendency to lock that into their mind, you know.
Absolutely.
It's like mentally, oh, he just gave up a sack. It's the O-line. They're so bad.
It's called confirmation bias, you know.
So
you'll see what you want to see on him.
And then from that, like, that's, I mean, I'm just saying, I remember that, him giving up the sack.
It's human nature.
Don't remember that much else about it, which probably means the rest of it wasn't that bad, which is exactly what you're saying. So
absolutely.
I think the O-line, I mean, we won the game.
That's where I'm at with it, too. Yes. Like you said, it can be improved. Yes, when Elflein comes back, do I want Jones to kick out to left guard in place of Compton? Absolutely. All right. But if we have to roll with this five for the next half year and wait for Elflein to come back, I think we'd be okay.
Yep.
It's just the truth of it. We're not. This isn't a leaky sieve. We didn't give up 12 sacks. All right.
Right.
So it's fine. But yeah, I think that about covers it for the offense. Pretty much covered every.
The only other thing I would say would be Thielen. You know, there was a little bit of concern about just the chemistry with Cousins
chemistry.
To Thielen. Clearly, you saw Cousins to Diggs pretty often in the preseason, and they really seemed to hit it off. And I think that any concern over Thielen can just be pushed to the wayside because Thielen led the way, 6 catches for 102. They looked really comfortable together. I think that the two receivers,
I think that's what Thielen is. He's a safety blanket because his routes are so crisp that you know where he's going to be.
Yeah. No, and so that would be the only other thing offensively that, you know, just of note. We had kind of touched on the fact that Thielen and him didn't really seem to be hitting it off, but as we had kind of previously noted, it probably was not a point of concern.
Yeah.
So.
I was not concerned at all. You don't get concerned until it's like week 4 and he's only got 2 catches or 2 targets. So so let's flip to the other side of the ball here. As we said in the opener, Mac Alexander was ruled out. Who starts in his place? Number 30th overall, Mike Hughes.
First round pick.
Now, I mean, for those that didn't really pay attention to the game, how would you describe this rookie debut for Mike Hughes?
Hughes obviously had an INT return for a touchdown, which is the flashy play.
First rookie to do that in season opener.
Well, there you go.
For the Vikings, fun I fact. Think, for if not ever, for quite a long time, the stat was on the screen.
So, you know, he had the flashy touchdown, and then I was telling you, I didn't necessarily notice him throughout the rest of the game, and to me, that's a sign of you're probably doing fine.
It's just like the O-line.
Yep. You know, you're not getting beat consistently. Jimmy G wasn't necessarily targeting you. So I think that Hughes probably learned a lot, you know, game one, and that's huge. So overall, I would probably give him, you know, that low B, you know, type of a
solid B.
And granted, you know, I did a little bit of reading into, you know, some of the more advanced stuff here, just on his overall play, and I think there are definitely some things that...
It's not to say he's not without flaws.
Yeah, but I think that it's a good first game for him. If you took away the touchdown, I just think a lot of people would not really notice anything about his game.
Which is, like you said, it's what you want. I mean, you don't need to splash to be a good player.
Right.
So, I 100%... completely happy with how he played. I love the dig Mike Zimmer had on anyone that was clamoring for an O lineman at 30 in his presser. He said, "Yeah, I don't know who was saying we should have went with O line with that 30th pick, but I'm glad we picked Hughes because he not only played in the nickel in place of Mac Alexander, but when Waynes went out late in the game, he shifted over to Waynes' spot and played some straight up corner. So." Obviously, he is going to be an integral part of this defense for quite a while if he continues on this trajectory, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't give up the nickel job back to Mac.
Yeah.
Based on how he plays maybe in the next couple games.
Where, you know, I saw you had said that, and I think that if Mac is healthy going into Green Bay, I do think Mac will probably start.
I think I would agree.
And I think that that's probably the right move, just because, I mean, going into Lambeau, it's like, all right, you know what, you had a touchdown return, you didn't hurt us last game, you learned a lot of things, let's have, we know we're going to use you this game, but let's have Mac start and kind of go from there. But yeah, you know, he had 3 pass deflections, it looks like, he had the INT, he had 3 tackles. I think he got involved.
Absolutely.
He got involved out there and
Wasn't afraid to get involved.
No, and Jimmy G, you know, a lot of people think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, which, you know, as you and I said, is probably a bit preposterous just because of the short.
Right now.
It doesn't necessarily even have a full NFL. Well, he doesn't have an NFL season really to go off of. Good for him. He got paid. But, yeah, I think that it's a good opener for Hughes. I mean, what people need to really stop and think about is think about all these other corners that we've had that have been early round picks, and they either haven't panned out or they've taken time to pan out. I mean, Trey Waynes, Chris Cook, you know, even Trey took some time, you know, and
Mike Hughes has more interceptions in one game than Chris Cook had his entire career.
Right. So I think that if you're trying to tell me that you're concerned about Hughes' game and you know, the stuff that you don't really see, unless you know what you're looking for. I mean, I think you're just looking for stuff to kind of nitpick on at that point.
Right.
And that's fine when you take care of business at home and you win by 8 and it should have been more. You're going to have a tendency to do that. You can always improve. But I think that I'm happy with Hughes' game. I'm not going to rave and give him the A+, but I certainly think that he did what was asked of him. And
everything I wanted to see out of a first-round pick's game, it didn't make me like think we got a huge steal, but it didn't make me think that we wasted the pick.
Right.
And if you don't waste the first round pick, if he pans out and is a legit starter for you, perfect.
Right.
That's what you want. Lead this into a couple of coverage issues that might have been exposed. What's your thoughts on this? Is this something that players just completely failed, or is that schematic assignment missing, or what's going on there?
I think it was probably a missed assignment, to be honest with you. You know, they had, I think, 2 or 3 plays in a row there where they kind of went to the flats and guys were wide open.
I was not happy at that moment.
No, yeah. I mean, and we'll have to rewatch a little bit and see what went on there. But I have a feeling someone messed up from a schematic standpoint.
There's some handoff that was missed there in the coverage.
And I mean, you're going to have plays where the offense is going to beat the defense. They, you know, it, this is a battle back and forth.
And sometimes it doesn't even matter. You could cover completely perfectly and still get beat.
Exactly. So I think that they will learn from it. We know that next week you're going to have an offensive kind of mastermind at the helm who likes to change plays. And
Mike McCarthy?
We'll find the open receiver, which Jimmy G luckily missed a couple times for us. Otherwise, this game, you know, might have been a little bit of a different story. So, I don't know. I mean, being at the game, I'm sure it might have been a little difficult for you to actually break that down, but...
Yeah, some of them were fairly obvious. There was something that was completely missed. Like I said, a couple of them there. The hole was just way too wide. Someone missed a handoff or missed their assignment on that. But yeah, it's a lot more difficult to really see how coverages are breaking down when you don't have that overhead view that you kind of get on the TV. But, you know, like I said, the way we played, putting up four takeaways, I mean, at some point, something's got to break a little bit.
Right.
I would have been a lot more concerned if we would have lost this game with a +3 turnover ratio. But we didn't. We closed it out the way we needed to with Harrison Smith interception right there at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask for more.
No.
You really can't. Oh, let's see. What else we got here, Mikey?
I mean, Harrison probably could have, you know, went down when he intercepted that ball instead of carry it one-handed and try to advance. But that's a...
He was eating time off the clock.
Yeah. Anyways.
What, do you eat in like that?
No.
Why not?
Because he's got the ball out one-handed running around. Too many bad things have happened to me over the years, okay?
So I guess to wrap up our kind of our defensive conversation here, D-line pressure, that was something that... Man, we're used to seeing reasonable pressure, but it seemed like we were just on them all day.
Yeah, I mean, the D-line pressure was substantial. I think they ended up with only 2 sacks total from the D-line. Obviously, Harry came in on a blitz and got one. But it felt like we had more than the 2 or 3 sacks. So, you know,
again, that's like I said in the preview show, Jimmy G's one of those guys that'll get it out quick.
Yeah.
And if you can speed up his processing, or speed up the time he has to process.
Yeah,
that's where you get some of those errant throws. That's why we had 3 picks.
Well, and it's gonna be a cog for our entire defense. The faster you make a quarterback make a decision, you know, maybe it throws off routes. Maybe it, you know, maybe someone misses a block, etc. You know, it's just gonna be more beneficial for this vaunted defense. So I was telling you, you know, we were talking about the pressure here before the show, and I was just like, well, yeah, you know, we got pressure. But it's just something that I've come to expect, and you don't realize if you are a fan of another team that doesn't have a front four like this, this would be like, oh my God, you know, this is one of the better games from a pressure standpoint we've ever had. And
this is a low-key kind of...
Well, I mean, it's good. We got pressure. Yeah. We didn't bring him down maybe as much as I would have wanted, but yeah,
we took him off his spot, as they say.
Huge factor. Yeah. So pressure's going to be there. It's going to need to be there next week. You're going to have a banged-up Aaron Rodgers at minimum. So
I swear, if Anthony Barr hurts him and takes him out again... I'm pretty sure there's going to have to be a rest on all the death threats he's going to get.
See, and I'm going to be at that game, so, you know, I'm almost hoping that doesn't happen.
You know, I might advise taking, like, a flak jacket or something.
Well, I was going to wear my bar jersey.
Ooh. Well, you know what? It was good podcasting with you while we were here. Well, one more episode, the preview, and then after that, you might not make it out alive. Yeah. So... we'll see how that works out for you.
Right.
I'm pulling for you. I guess one last talking point on the defense. Curse in there versus Iloka when we were running 3 safety sets.
Yeah.
What do you kind of make of this? My thought is it's kind of a system knowledge versus player ability thing.
Yeah. To me, that's what it screams.
Because, I mean, it's hard to tell me that Iloka is not more talented than Curse.
I don't know. I've seen this before where guys that get signed a little bit later, but the argument there would be that he knows Zim's schemes, right? He's played with Zim before in Cincinnati, you know, and Zim even said when he came over, he's like, he knew X percent. It was something like 80% right. of the scheme. So I don't know if it's, and I wouldn't think it's a conditioning issue. So I don't know. That one, I don't really know. It kind of threw me off a little bit, but I was probably, it must have been close to halftime. I was talking with another buddy of mine who we were kind of watching the game together and talking about it almost on a play-by-play basis as we were going, and I was like, have you seen him yet? And he hadn't, so
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, did Zim get asked about it at all today? Did you see in the presser?
I didn't see in the after the game presser. I haven't checked for today's.
Okay.
So yeah, if it comes up, sure, we'll take a look at it, but yeah, I don't know exactly what to make of it. The only thing I can think of is it's either player chemistry or just some of the nuances that he wasn't picking up yet or hadn't really gelled with yet versus Curse has been in the system for, what, 3 years now? So yeah. I don't know. It's
a little strange, though.
A little strange. If it happens again like that, I'd put more of a question to it. Like, what's going on here? Why is he not starting? Why, like, he's got to be better than Curse. So what's going on there?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they're saving him for rotational purposes or something. I don't know. We'll find out. I guess on the San Fran side of the ball, obviously not having McKinnon really took them back a bit.
Yeah.
Didn't really make them as dynamic as they probably wanted to be coming into this game.
No, and then they lose Goodwin, their top receiver, relatively early in the game, and he tried to come back. I think he did actually come back for a play or two, and then he had to come back out. So they were really down their two most explosive offensive weapons. And then, you know, Kittle was a problem at times. He had 5 for 90. Very easily could have had 6 for 150 if Jimmy G would have hit him on the one that he was streaking wide open.
He also had Pettis that had a couple of nice grabs.
Yeah, Pettis had a nice catch. That touchdown grab was really nice. So, but they're a hurting unit. You know, we talked about it. They were losing McKinnon is huge, especially this close to the season. And then they had some injuries yesterday too. You know, they lost a couple guys, and I think that they're a hurting unit right now, as are a few other teams in the NFL. Carolina, we didn't touch on that. Carolina lost a few more players. So injuries, unfortunately, are part of the NFL, and I think...
However, if you're someone listening to this and you're a 49ers fan, or if you're also a 49ers fan and a Vikings fan, you know, these guys put up a fight all the way through the end.
Yeah. No, it's a good...
So, I mean, you got good things to look forward to from this team.
I think the team, you know, we said in the preview show for the NFL that we both like the Niners and the direction they're going, but we both felt maybe they're a year or two away. Let's get a few more pieces. Let's get a healthy McKinnon. Let's maybe get a true...
See what you have.
Let's get a true one receiver to pair with Goodwin and continue to add another piece or two to that defense. And I think that, yeah, then you are talking about a good football team, especially in a division with a lot of uncertainty. Seattle losing yesterday. Arizona getting killed yesterday. You know, so it's one of those things where...
The Rams getting crushed by Gruden today.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. But Niners still headed in the right direction. I think this year is going to be tough for him, certainly if these injuries continue to pile up. But
yep, death by a thousand cuts usually typically with injuries.
Yeah.
All right, so let's bring up the old Twitter questions here. Start with the O-line question. Starts off, when does Elflein come back? So we'll start off with that little bit from Eric on the Twitter. So Elflein, you know, I'm hoping next week, but honestly, I could see anywhere between now and like week 4.
I don't see why you bring him back for Buffalo.
Well, if he's out versus
Green Bay,
he doesn't play
this week. I think it's week
maybe
four.
Maybe you keep him. You put him active if he's ready to go, and just have him.
Short week though, too. That week we play that Thursday
for right Buffalo
after Buffalo
or after Buffalo. Yeah.
So I just if he doesn't play week two.
Well, here's what I'm saying there. So with if he's out versus Green Bay, but he's ready to go for Buffalo, you activate him for Buffalo, but you don't play him. He's your reserve center at that point. Just to save him up for that next Thursday, right? Because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with the O-line.
No.
But I say you would just start him, you'd put him as your reserve, and you sit someone else on the O-line as an inactive. So I'm hoping this week he'll be back, but I could easily see it being later. I could easily see them trying to take their time with it.
I think...
But I would agree, though, if it's not this week, it's week four.
Coming in, I was going to say this week, before this week that just happened, I was going to say Green Bay, week two, he's going to be back. Right now, I think it's week four, and I don't know, that's me reading in between the lines a little bit, but then also just thinking logically, you know, with Buffalo in the short week, whatever, I think it's going to be week four.
Well, on the same token, though, you'd almost want him to get in now and start getting that chemistry back ahead of that week four and week five matchup. You really don't want to be shuffling your guys ahead of that Rams D-line. You kind of want to have them experienced out.
Well, then
you
got the Eagles, too. I mean, they're both, I don't know.
That's the only counter argument there. So
we're going two or four, but not three.
Two or four, probably not three, unless, like I said, unless they want that week of continuity for the Rams. We'll see. That's such a tough question to answer because we haven't heard anything about it since he started practicing. So
that's a mystery. It's a little bit of a mystery.
We'll get some more clarity in the next couple of days as they're getting back to practicing. I think today they typically have the day off. Tomorrow they'll do a practice.
Wednesday will be the big, the injury report. Yep. Wednesday will be the big one. So
look at the injury report and actually look at, for the portions that are open to the public, who is he with? Who's he playing with? You know, what's going on with that whole trajectory, because if he's playing with the ones on like Wednesday, if he's practicing with the ones on Wednesday, then pretty safe bet he's going to be playing week two. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's not fully decided. It's Zimmer and injuries. We're never going to get a clear answer till Sunday game time actives. So second question, is O'Neal the new swing tackle at both tackle positions? I'm assuming since Collins is now out. So, yes, I would say. I don't see another tackle on a roster that's of the caliber that O'Neal can provide. And because we put Collins on the IR, don't forget that we have Remmers, who used to be right tackle. So, worst case, this is how it would break down. If everything were to hit the fan, we were to lose about four offensive linemen. If he were to go down, O'Neal is your immediate backup right tackle. If O'Neal would go down in that position, Remmers would kick out to right tackle. You'd bring in a guard replacement. All right. If Remmers goes down with all that, well, you're pretty much just going to forfeit the game anyway because you're going to be screwed. If Reef goes down, that's probably going to be either O'Neal or Hill, whichever one they feel is better suited at that left tackle. Sometimes it's insanely difficult to swap positions when you're in the game flow, so that would be kind of a wild card. But bringing in a guard that we did, I don't think reduces our position flexibility by much by losing Collins. I just don't think it does. So, obviously, we already signed a guard. This question was put in a little bit before we signed the guy. What's our opinion on the run game or lack thereof yesterday? This is from Paul.
Well, I think lack thereof needs to be taken with a grain of salt. Dalvin coming back from missing not the entirety of last season, but basically missing, you know, over three quarters of the season. New offense. I thought Dalvin looked good. I thought he looked explosive. Obviously, we weren't afraid to use him. So, I guess I wouldn't worry about the lack of statistics. Dalvin was under three. Latavius was closer to four. I thought he looked good. But it was kind of a weird game from the running standpoint. You know, clearly Cousins was trying to get going a little bit. I think he threw 36 times. I don't know that we're necessarily used to a QB throwing 36 times over the last few years. I think it's typically a little bit lower than that. So,
well, we still had a combined 116 yards rushing. So.
Yeah, I mean they got over 100. Obviously, some of the scrambles from Cousins helped that out quite a bit. But I guess I would not be concerned at all about the running backs If you want to talk about the line, and especially as we get more and more moving pieces here from the line and making sure they're blocking and doing the things downfield that they need to do, that's one thing to be concerned about. But the actual running backs, I thought Dalvin and Latavius both looked good.
Yeah. For me, it's not a big concern. It's kind of, you're just starting out slow. Like you said, new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. They're going to implement those wrinkles that get those guys sprung for a lot more yards, right? We're going to see that Dalvin we saw the first three games of last year.
Oh, I thought he looked just as good.
No, stat sheet-wise.
Yeah.
We're going to see that happen, okay? And so we just got to be patient a little bit with it. There's a lot of moving pieces right now. A lot of things are still trying to gel, get comfortable. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. I think that's coming, and it should be around just fine. Let's see. Other part of the question, Cousins' debut. We talked about that. Looked good. Good pocket awareness. But he couldn't close out the game in the fourth. What do you make of that, Mike?
Cousins?
Yes.
I don't know. That's been the knock, right? Kind of late game situations, especially 2-minute drill if he needs to do whatever. I know they're probably not going to like this answer, but I'm kind of giving the pass on this one because it's a new offense, it's a new team, there's a lot of new moving pieces, it's a new O-line every day right now. I guess I'm going to give him the pass. If all of a sudden weekly you see, oh, I'm giving him a pass, but we keep winning football games, all right, fine, we'll have to address it at some point in time. Like, what do we do if we get behind? He needs to win.
And he needs to pull it out.
I guess I'm not concerned about that right now. We still won this football game. Dalvin doesn't fumble. If Dalvin doesn't fumble, this question doesn't come into us. Let's put it that way. You know.
Sure. I think that's fair. Because then we're up by at least another touchdown. You'd figure.
Yeah.
And it's not even a close out the game at that point because you'd be running a lot more. You know, instead of trying to pick up those third down.
I don't know. 244-2. I think it's a good learning. They're going to go back, look at the tape, figure out what went wrong late.
Well, you know, Judd, we're going to go back and look at the tape. We're not going to rest on our laurels. Classic Les Frazier impression there, if you ever watched some of his pressers.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know that that's kind of this cliched whatever answer, but...
At this point, that's all you can do.
Again, I think we're almost nitpicking to say, why can't he close a game out when it's a game you do win by 8 points? And I know that Harry is ultimately who closed it out, you know, with right. that. Well, it's the defense entirely, but...
But, counterpoint to that, your defense is your strength.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Some people think that the offense is going to be really damn good this year.
You know, and I wouldn't call those people completely crazy, but, you know, if you need to close out a game, I'm sorry, I'm trusting the defense more at this point because that's what they are.
Yeah, if you're telling me, would I rather have... Well, but I mean, I think most teams are going to go with this, but would I rather have a 3-point lead and need my defense to make a stop or be down 2 and have my offense have to get into field goal range? Yes, I'm taking this defense to make a stop.
Yep.
Now, that's not saying that I don't... I mean, with the playmakers we have, I'm trusting that Cousins and company
could do
can
that
get us into range and that, you know, Carlson's going to bring the rain from whatever distance, but...
Wait, the rain's down from Africa?
Also, Carlson, Kicker Watch, can you give me the update? You were there.
What was it, 2-for-2?
He was for sure one... Oh, yeah, what do we have? How many extra points?
Three then, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. 3-for-3 extra points? 2-for-2?
One for one
field goal, I'm sorry.
40...
Math is hard.
47-yarder, I think it was.
I think it was like a 42, actually. Because I remembered it was like it matched exactly what
got it right here.
Kai missed. It's true. You know, I could just continue to look at this. When was that field goal?
Okay,
you know what? They're highlighted in green, Mike, okay? It should be easy to find. Carlson, 48. Okay, 48 field goal. You're right.
There you go. See, he's got it. And I mean, it was 3/4 of the way up the upright.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
I couldn't see that, so I have no way to verify if you're just pulling my leg right now or not. But
no.
In either case, yeah, I guess that is what it is. You know, I'm going to love him until he costs us another Super Bowl trip because he's going to miss it in the NFC Championship game.
I have a little faith.
You know, it's hashtag Vikings, but...
Well, let me bump this. I know this is a little bit off script here, but the punting game. We had one very atrocious punt. Now, he did have a couple other solid punts. So, anything to... Is it just something to watch? Or do you kind of say, one bad punt, nothing to worry about, and, we're on to Green Bay?
Right now, the special teams coming off the preseason and how they played, and that one bad punt scares the absolute crap out of me.
Okay.
Because we're relatively sound in offense right now. Our defense is probably the soundest in the league. If there's a spot where we can be hurt right now, it's special teams. And that punt is a potential to swing momentum and break your back. Like, I didn't see any replay angles on that punt. If there's anything wrong with the snap or anything like that, but that was just atrocious. You give him the ball at, like, midfield.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't do that. There's nothing else to say.
Ooh, this is a fun update.
Oh, gosh.
Sam Darnold just made his first throw.
Pick
six.
What?
Yeah.
Slay?
I don't know. I don't have that. But first pick six.
Should have kept Teddy.
Last parting question here would be Kyle Rudolph, someone who I thought was actually going to be a big factor. And not saying he couldn't be in the future here, but two targets, I told you, possibly three, because I do think he was targeted on the Treadwell drop ball early. But now the one target was a nice touchdown catch. But,
sure.
Cousins is always Jordan Reed, and his tight ends have really thrived. And obviously, DeFilippo, you had Ertz and guys that have thrived under his system as well as tight ends. So everything seemed to be pointing towards a big year and big games from Kyle Rudolph. And, I think he had one for eight and a score yesterday. So is that just a product of they took what was available from the receivers, or what do you think about that?
I think it could have been a couple faceted issue. I think one was, okay, you're kind of, it's either your tight end or your running back that's your relief valve, right? In situations where you're pressured, you need to dump it down quick. One of those guys is usually in the flats or a crossing route. So I think part of it was them trying to reintegrate Cook and give him some nice, easy completions to grab, just to get him used to that contact, used to that cut-in, used to that quick acceleration. So there might have been more of an emphasis to get him on some of those plays as your relief valve. And then some of it might have just been their linebackers were being really good in coverage and taking away Rudolph. So he just wasn't there. So he stopped looking at him as often because he just wasn't there. So I could see it being multifaceted like that, where it's maybe a lot of the plays was more designed towards Cook, and then some of it was the ones that were designed for Rudolph just weren't there, or Treadwell tried to make a play on the ball when it really wasn't supposed to go to him anyway.
Okay.
That's a tough question to ask, and a couple more games, if that continues, that trend continues.
Yeah.
Then I think it's a lot more interesting question. But yeah, right now, first game, like we said, so many moving parts. It's hard to gauge right now what this offense is gonna look like, what the weakness is, where we need to improve right now. It's just a lot.
I tell you what, I am salivating thinking of Diggs and Thielen against those rookie corners next week.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
But, I'm excited.
Get excited, folks.
I'll be there.
Get excited. He'll be there. He might not make it out alive, so send your thoughts and prayers to @Muskie_Mike.
Yeah.
Or to me, and I'll relay them at @Namok7.
Right.
This is Scolders Podcast, scolders.com.
You might be looking for a new co-host.
I might be, so you know what? Send in some tape. We'll review it. I'm not going to rest on my laurels here if I need to get a new, co-host here.
I wouldn't expect anything else,
Show must go on, But yeah, check us out. Scolders.com. You're probably listening to us also on the Climbing the Pocket Network. We're over there as well. Take a listen. They got some good stuff going on over there. But I think it's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Anything you got left to add?
No, I'm excited. We'll have the preview show coming up this week. That's always a fun show. We'll see if we can get someone from the dark side over and maybe
try to talk some sense into them.
Yeah.
Because they probably think they're going to roll this game, but no, they're not.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll do it for us. Until next time.
Bye.